We are joined now by an NBA insider for NBC Sports, host of the Haberstroh podcast, creator of the ALS Pepper Challenge. He is a friend of the program. Tom Haberstroh joins us once again. It's good to have you back. Tom, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Really, really good. Let me start here. As you pointed out last night on Twitter, the average point differential through four games in last year's Rockets-Warriors series was nearly 20 per game. This year, it's less than five. So let's start right there. How do you explain that?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the play of James Harden, who in the past years, he really gasses out in the after the first game. He's a guy whose conditioning seems to get the best of him, in series past. Remember a few years ago against the Spurs where he had nothing left in the tank, and it was just an embarrassing series defeat there in Houston. And last year, a lot of his efficiency was just, relegated to just game ones, and he dribbles around and he looks exhausted out there, but not in this series. He's been so much better, and PJ Tucker has so much more energy, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact they're playing the Warriors early. You know, this is the Western Conference semifinals, the second round, and I think a lot of the reason you're seeing them, not get blown out in these losses, in the games that they have lost, it's been really close. I think it's because of the stamina. You look at Chris Paul and his hamstring issues and his age and the miles on his tires. This is when you want to face the Golden State Warriors. And I think the way that Eric Gordon has stepped up, the way that PJ Tucker has been destroying the Warriors on the boards, a lot of it is just energy. It's just a lot of endurance. And I think what you're seeing is the advantage of playing the Warriors now after that grueling Clippers series that the Warriors had to go through. And you've got Klay Thompson, Steph Curry a little bit gimpy here in this matchup. Klay hasn't played very well, but I think you're seeing the Rockets are taking advantage of their legs here.
I agree, Tom. We were talking about this, that if it were anybody else, you would not make the argument that the sooner you see Golden State, the better. You'd rather not run into them sooner. But because of what happened last year and what you're pointing out right now, it definitely did benefit Houston to get them earlier as opposed to later. But one of the big questions coming into this series was whether or not Houston's defense was for real. It was terrible at the start of the year. Then they bring back their defensive wizard on the staff, and they turn it around. What do you make of the defense that Houston has played in this series?
Oh, my gosh. Jeff Pizdelic, the quote-unquote defensive coordinator for the Rockets, after that first month where they were just abysmal on that end of the floor, they lose Luka Mbamute, they lose Trevor Ariza, and it looked like they just didn't have the personnel to contend with the very best in the NBA. And ever since Pizdelic came on, they've been locked in defensively. I think they were a top-two defensive team after the All-Star break. They did a number on the Utah Jazz, even though it's a one-man offense there in Donovan Mitchell. They did an incredible job of locking him down and Rudy Gobert. And in this series, they're just being super physical. Last night, Steve Kerr telling reporters that they just got a bunch of middle linebackers. And in this series, you're seeing them just out-physical the Golden State Warriors. And I will say this, Eric Gordon doesn't get enough credit for how he's done against Klay Thompson. In this season, Klay Thompson normally scores 30 points every 100 possessions. In this series, when guarded by Eric Gordon, that scoring rate of 30 points goes down to 5 when he's handled by Eric Gordon. He's been an amazing defender on Klay, shadowing him on all those screens that they run off them. He's just been there really rock solid. And I think offensively, every time he takes a shot, I feel like it's going in. He has a lot of confidence. He's got some dribble drive game. I think they're just playing maximum capacity right now. And just physically, Chris Paul is just a nuisance out there. James Harden, for his part, he's been doing fine. And I think that is a really big thing, is you're seeing PJ Tucker being able to play at the five and go small because there aren't any weak links defensively. James Harden has stepped up. Everybody has stepped up because they're willing to just overpower them and play physical, and I think PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon are leading the way.
We're talking to Tom Haberstroh. I love both those guys. I think Gordon's been an absolute monster, and PJ Tucker, like, how could you not know this about this guy already? But apparently some are just figuring it out. PJ Tucker has been amazing. Like, last year you had Trevor Ariza, who was the defensive specialist when it came to Kevin Durant, but he's gone, as you point out. What about Tucker? What about the job he's done on Durant and in two games, the last two games in particular?
Well, I think what PJ Tucker does is he's a lot like Patrick Beverley, where he's fearless as a defender. He's going to get under you. He's a cerebral player. He's really smart out there, and he knows that he's got to really play strong against Kevin Durant. He's not going to keep him under, 30 points every single night, but just make everything difficult. But Jim, the thing that is marvels me about PJ Tucker is offensively, he is destroying the Warriors on the boards. I mean, last night, how many times did you see him go from the corner, sprint up at the rim and just pull down a rebound or tap it out to a teammate? You know, he's not big. He's maybe 6'6", like a little bit taller Kyle Lowry out there. He reminds me of Chuck Hayes for the Houston Rockets back in the day, where it's just like, you can't move that guy. But then suddenly he stands there in the corner and then just bursts out to the basket to get these offensive rebounds, and that's killer against the Golden State Warriors because they want the ball. They want to go out and transition. And what happens, as you saw in last night's game, they hold the ball for all 24 seconds, and then they get an offensive rebound, and they ISO it again, and they drown out the clock. So these offensive rebounds by P.J. Tucker, all hustle plays. He is like recharging his batteries in the corner. And then just gets the ball, and he has a knack for just being there at the right spot. So credit to P.J. Tucker, not just defending Kevin Durant, but killing the Warriors where they are very vulnerable on the offensive board.
Tom Haverstroh is joining us. All right, so let me switch to the East now, Tom. In Game 1, Boston held Giannis to 22 points on 7-for-21 shooting. Since then, though, he's gone for 29, 32, and 39 last night. Exactly what changed there?
I think the wall that they created is crumbling. Game of Thrones style, the Great Wall, it's fallen. I mean, in Game 1, when you saw just multiple bodies in front of Giannis, they only got 13 baskets in the rim area. So only 13 field goals at the rim in Game 1, the Bucks. A lot of it is because Giannis was just not getting there. But in Game 2, that number went up to 16. In Game 3, it went up to 23. And in Game 4 last night, the Bucks had 29 baskets at the rim. It was a layup line. And I think they just broke the Boston Celtics just by attrition, just going at it and being aggressive and attacking the basket. I think the Celtics just look completely discombobulated. Offensively, you heard Marcus Smart say, it's not just in a vacuum. That offensively they struggled, and I think it really translates defensively where they're not playing together, they're not rotating, and I think a big reason why is because Kyrie Irving's been inefficient, taking a lot of shots, and I think they're just not playing together, and you're seeing you need to play together to defend the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis, and they're just not doing that. Again, their rim area baskets went from 13 to 16 to 23 to 29 in Game 4.
Tom Haverstroh is joining us. And Tom, go back to Kyrie. He's inefficient, to be sure, but overall, how would you describe his performance over the course of the season and then in particular in this series?
Kyrie has been efficient in the season. In the games that he hasn't played, they've been just fine. I just don't know about the fit in Brad Stevens' offense. Brad Stevens is an egalitarian offensive coach. He wants to get everyone involved, and that kind of team-first mentality really worked to their advantage last year in the playoffs. They go to a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals a lot because of their ball movement. And you're seeing in this postseason, Kyrie is trying to take it upon himself and say, I'm going to pull you out of this. I'm going to shoot my way out of this. And even last night saying, 22 shots, I should have taken 30. And that is really antithetical to the way that Brad Stevens wants to play. Last year, in the postseason, they averaged 290 passes per game, and this year it's dropped to 270. You better be more efficient if you're going to have fewer passes. You better get more efficient looks, and you're just not getting it with Kyrie Irving. I think a lot of the times we think Kyrie is a superstar, the number one guy, because he's won a title and he hit that game-winning shot against the Warriors, but I really believe that he's better suited as a number two or a number three if he wants to win a championship. Right now you're seeing he's just not efficient enough to be the number one guy and take 20, 25 shots every game.
So he right now is taking a lot of heat, and deservedly so. But at the same time, Tom, what has happened to Gordon Hayward in this series, and how big of a concern is that for Boston?
It's a huge concern. At NBC, we do this segment called The Big Number, a video segment where I highlight a stat that really tells a story about a team or a player. And earlier this season, You know, I did a segment about Gordon Hayward, and when he scores at least 15 points, the Celtics are 14-2, almost unbeatable when he is going. But in this series, he's been absolutely gone. He hasn't really made an impact. And I think that is, if the Kyrie thing is the number one story, right 1B is Gordon Hayward and the fact that he has not made an impact in this series. He's the number one guy on their payroll. They got to figure that out, because without Gordon Hayward, not only is he taking up the cap space, but I just think it's the elephant in the room is, you know, when is Gordon Hayward going to be that guy again, if he's ever going to be that guy, because they need him to be the Utah Jazz Gordon Hayward. And statistically, he's more like the Boston Evan Turner, which is okay, but not when you're getting paid like LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook. You need to get more out of Gordon Hayward going forward. Big question mark here in Game 5 and going into next season.
Now, Tom, in terms of the big number, earlier today you recorded a big number video that's going to drop tomorrow, but the teaser is a photo of Kobe and Kyrie. Can you give me a hint? What is that going to be about?
It's not a good thing when you see Kyrie Irving wanting to take more shots. Let's put it that way. There's going to be a number in there that's going to be startling about how the Celtics do when Kyrie Irving takes a lot of shots. I don't think it's a good thing that you're seeing him have this Mamba mentality where I'm going to shoot more. That's going to be the panacea here. I want to shoot more to get them out of this, because historically that has not worked out for the Celtics, and it has not worked out for Kyrie's career when he shoots a lot. So stay tuned for tomorrow. Big number. I've already talked to a couple people about this. It's going to blow your mind.
I'll look for that. Tom Haverstraw is my guest. All right, before you go, the Sixers and Raptors meet in Toronto tonight, Game 5 of that series. What is your overall feel for the series and how it plays out the rest of the way?
You know, it all depends on Joel Embiid's health. You know, it's so bizarre how he gets these minor injuries or minor afflictions in postseason time. Last year when he broke his orbital bone in his face and had to wear the mask, and it kind of, you know, threw him off his game. And this year he's got stomach issues and an upper respiratory infection. I just want to see him at his best. And when he's out there and playing like we know he can, that's the team that can't be beat. But unfortunately, you know, you're seeing him really struggle with his conditioning, with whatever sickness he's laboring through. Kawhi Leonard is unfazed. Whatever they're doing against him, he's been incredible. And it's not just this year, Jim. Kawhi Leonard was this good before Zaza Pachulia's foot went underneath him in 2017 with the Spurs. So he's incredible. But we really need to see Joel Embiid at his best if Toronto is going to play this way with Kawhi. Philly has to get more out of Joel Embiid. I just don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to do it.
So, Tom, really quickly, in terms of Portland and Denver, that's shaped as a really nice series. You had taken Portland to win that series in 7 before it started. Have you seen anything that would make you change your mind?
I mean, Jokic is so good. Jamal Murray is so good. I need to see more out of Dame Lillard. You know, those long-range shots I've talked about on this program before, you know, the logo threes, logo Lillard, hasn't really come into effect in this series yet. It opens up so much for that Portland offense if Dame Lillard can pull up from 30 feet like he did to end Game 5 their last series. I think it's going to be a huge factor going forward, is how can the Blazers assert their dominance offensively, not go through Enes Kanter, but they need to get more out of Dame Lillard and those logo threes. Look for that in Game 5, where they're going to have to get some more offense out of Dame. He hasn't uncorked an amazing game here in this series, but I expect it to happen soon, not to the Denver liking. I think it's going to be a tough one for Denver to withstand a big Dame Lillard showing.
He is an NBC Sports NBA insider, host of the Haber Show podcast, creator of the ALS Pepper Challenge, and a good friend of the program. Tom, great job. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Anytime, Jim.
Great talking to you, Tom. Well done. All right, so we set up hour number 3. You can react to any of that. I thought he was, as always, just on point with a lot of different things.